Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Philippians 1. Don't you just love Philippians? Paul just loved the church at Philippi. And this talk will be Christ's love flows uphill. That's what we're going to talk about. Christ's love flows uphill. It's amazing. His love is so different. So let's read. He's coming into a prayer. You know how he loves to pray for the churches. And almost every epistle that he writes has that. In Timothy, it begins in verse, let's pick it up, let's say in verse 6, and we'll go to verse 11. It says, being confident, or I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just to take a break for a second. Jesus is excited to come and get us. And I think every time we see the signs beginning to happen, he said, look up, for your redemption draws near. Now, he said that in the first century. It's been a ways, right? And you think, but it's like he said, don't try to apologize for me or hold my reputation up or something. No, he'll take care of that. But one thing, he wants us to be excited if we see signs that he's coming, because he can hardly wait to come and get us. I'll say a little bit more after that, after a while. But look at this. He goes on and he says in verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this, that you're going to complete what you started, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness in how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Lord, please help us understand a little bit more of this today. In Jesus' name. Okay, so he's praying for their love, that it would abound and that it would overflow more and more. Now, in verse 10, he uses a word sincere. It's the word pure in ESV. But look at verse 10. Let's just zero in on that for a second. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. I'm reading from the New King James. Some of yours says pure. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. Now that word, sincere, it's the Greek word eilikrinēs. And it's interesting. Eili means the sun's rays. Krinēs means to be judged or tested. So sincere means the rays of the sun are exposing things and you're being tested. So it's an interesting word. It means tested or judged by the sun's rays. And in English, the word sincere from the Latin word sinceris literally means without wax. So you're like, yeah, so what's the deal? Well, when you put these meanings together, the English origin, sinceris, and you also eilikrinēs, the actual Greek word, this is what you get. Back in the first century in the Roman Empire, sculptors and potters would sometimes be making works of art, you know, like a sculptor of a Caesar or a famous person or something like that. And potters. They would create these pottery things, and it was just really beautiful. But sometimes they would be dishonest and patch up broken pieces or chipped pieces, and they wouldn't use quality material to fix it. That it's as good as it looks and as good as it was before it was chipped. Whole point here, this Caesar that he makes, let's say, and he puts it in his garden because it's for decoration, right? And that was a big thing back then. But say the nose somehow got chipped and the nose wasn't looking good because there wasn't a big market for Caesars without noses back then. I know these days, not having a nose makes it actually cooler. But anyway, they had to fix it. And since it was costly to get the top quality ceramic clay, instead they would use wax. And they would put that as the nose. They would sculpt that wax on the end of the nose that had been broken. Well, someone buys it and then they put it in their garden to make it look cool. But then this rich person who bought it would say, let's have a party. Let's have a party in the garden. And so they would, but it was a sunny day like today, only summer, and it was really hot. And all of a sudden, things were melting. And one of the guests says, oh no, look at Caesar, his nose is running. And he used wax. And people knew he was cheap. He was just deceiving. It wasn't sincere. And the owner's embarrassed and humiliated because he wasn't being pure or real. And this piece of sculpture was tested by the heat, judged by the sun's rays. It was found to be phony or insincere. That's the thing that's going to be one of the things that'll choke what the Lord really wants to do. He wants us to be qualitative in our love. So there's different qualitative kinds of love. There's lasting, eternal love that you need from God each day. But there are also substitutes that people are looking for, and a lot of them have to do with what we want and not what He wants. So we have to take a look at our life and see, what is the quality of our love? Is it true or is it fickle? Is it temporary or is it lasting? What kind of love do I want in my life? It's going to be shown, number one, in your love for God, because that's where it's going to need to count. Now, it'll show secondarily in your relationship with your spouse or your children or your neighbor. You know, these are the things that reveal reality, sincerity, purity, or they don't. And He's praying that their kind of love would be top quality. It would be eternal. And regardless of the kind of love we choose, we learn another lesson. The quality of our love in our life will be tested. Every day it'll be tested. Even when I'm praying for a guy and I'm worrying about the Lord's reputation, I'm tested because I'm afraid the Lord's not going to do anything. And we actually have trouble with that. We're sad about something. We need the Lord to heal it, whatever it is. I have anxiety. You know, the greatest command in the Bible that is disobeyed is be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. That's the most disobeyed command in the Bible. Did you know it's a command? He's commanding, be anxious for nothing. Philippians, I forget. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. It reminds me of the parable of the sower that Jesus gave. Remember he said, you know, the sower went out to sow seeds, right? And some fell by the wayside, but that wayside path had been trampled down, so it couldn't get through to the good soil. And as a result, it didn't do anything. And then he talked about the seed that falls on the rocky ground, and that was the similar problem. It couldn't get through those rocks. And as a result, it was exposed, tested, and it withered. Sometimes our roots are shallow because they can't get down in, but the Lord wants it to get in, and it will be tested. So we sink our faith in the promises of God. And verse 6 is one of the greatest promises. Paul said, I am confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it for the day of Jesus Christ. He can hardly wait. He's going to keep working until that gets done. Many people's love can't withstand the hardship, the testing, and the intense temptation. There's so much divorce these days. And you know who's suffering? Kids. Families. And even people who claim to be Christian aren't dying to the self aspect. When Jesus has died on the cross so that you could apply the death to self reality that is needed. I'm going through a situation like that right now in my own heart. This is just something he's been working with me in recently. And I feel like I've been failing. You know, the most important question here is, where do we get that love and where are we seeking for that love? The answer is verse 8. Look at verse 8. I love this verse. God is my witness. How greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Love that. The affection of Jesus Christ. What is that? Well, he's saying how greatly he longs to see them. With the affection of Christ. He can hardly wait to get over and see the Philippines. Philippines, what am I saying? The Philippians. And he's longing to see them with the affection of Christ. And that affection is this longing, it's a word, splanknon. In Greek. And we get in English, one word we get from that is spleen. He's saying, because I love you deep down in my spleen. He's not saying, I love you with my whole heart. No, it's deeper than that. It's going into all the aspects that need transformation. And that's something the Lord wants. Like we said, people say, well, how do we know he's coming soon? He said, when you see certain things, look up. Now, that he said, no one knows the day or the hour. So if you start saying the day or the hour, it's not going to work. The Lord alone knows that, what the day or the hour is. But in the meantime, whenever you see signs of it, he wants you to be excited that he's coming. And live for that, not just for yourself right now today. Mark 13:29 tells us that when we see those signs, know that my coming is near and I'm longing to come and get you. And he's going to do it. That's his promise. Kathy and I got married March 24th, 1979. We just celebrated our 45th anniversary. But on New Year's Day, 1979, all I could think of was March 24th. And every day I counted down the days. Because, you know, I'm trying to live a life pleasing to the Lord. And I want to do it His way. Now, He forgives other things that we do. But it messes you up. And then it still needs to be taken care of. So you're willing to compromise there, you're probably going to compromise down the road. Unless we get it fixed. And that is the Lord forgiving, cleansing, and giving us the power to follow Him and to love Him. Because that's what He does for us. So I love that word, splanchnon. Just say, I love you deeper than my spleen. That's what you're going to get from the Lord. You're going to get depth of love. In fact, Jeremiah 31:3 said this. You probably know it. The Lord Himself says to you, my people, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. He's drawing you every day. How wrong is it to ignore the King of Kings when He's calling you every day? It's not acceptable. But the thing that's going to convince you is how much He does love you. So get beyond that worrisome thing. Get beyond that, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm this, I'm that, you know, woe is me. Go beyond that to this depth where He loves you with an everlasting love, because it's always there. That's what He's giving. That's why He gave us His Holy Spirit. When Jesus died, we became redeemed to the point where we can have the Spirit of God Himself. Born of that Spirit of God. Think of that. You're a son or daughter of God. And that's a sweet place to be. The world may make fun of it, but it doesn't compare with what God can do and give. You know, the Lord uses trials. I'm going to speed up a little bit here, but here's this one. Yeah. Or where is that? Yeah. Here she blows. No, it's Romans 5. I have to go to this. Sometimes I mark it in there, but I forget. Okay. In Romans 5, 1 through 5, listen to this about testing, the trials that we go through. Okay. Therefore, he says in Romans 5, 1, Paul, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Be at peace, because you're righteous in His eyes. You've been declared just and right just by believing in Him and trusting in Him. So he goes on and he says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace today. Every day is the day we stand in grace. And he says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, that we also glory in tribulations. Okay, these testings, these tried by fire kind of thing, the testing of our faith. We glory in that, knowing that tribulation actually produces perseverance. You're not afraid. You're being patient. You're going through it. And the Lord's helping you. And what is he doing? Well, he's giving you character. And character produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we see the whole process, even of trials in this life, is to give you more love and to give me more love. And I'm so thankful for it. During these times of trouble, you don't have to fade or falter. You have to go through it. But this is what Paul said about it. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ within me compels me to give and to serve. Let's not love with words, but in truth. Do I put my love where my mouth is? Or am I just going with what I'm thinking and not letting him take charge? You know, the Puritan pastor, Thomas Manton, he said something so powerful. He said, love is like an echo. It returns what it receives. We will not be able to obey God and love like God wants us to be loving our families, our neighbors, him. We won't be able to do that unless we're receiving it. Love is like an echo. It returns what it receives. Hey! Okay, a moment ago, that wasn't coming around these walls. But it's got pretty good logistics here, and you can hear it. But whatever I'm hearing, whatever I'm taking in, that's what's reverberating around in my heart. And we're wallowing in that rather than enjoying the echo of his love poured into us. Love is like an echo. It returns what it receives. And that's what he wants returned and bouncing off our lives. So we need more of the knowledge of Jesus. We need his knowledge in our life. Look at that in verse. We were enemies reconciled to him, verse 10, through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now receive the reconciliation. So we have this growing knowledge of him, and it's the Greek word gnosko, which means knowing him by experience. That's what he wants. He doesn't want it just to be a head knowledge, but knowing him by experience. And I love how Jesus said some really dynamic things. I'm cutting off a lot of stuff here, but we're like 2-3 minutes away from deliverance. But this is what Jesus said. He said, I'm the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. I'm the vine. I'm the plant. I'm the life that is given. My Father's the gardener. And you guys are the branches. Think of that. We're the branches of God's tree and God's vine. We get to put forth the blossoms. We get to put forth the fruit. You know what Mike was talking about? Any honest person where there has been tremendous outreach or transformation of a lot of people, if they're real, if they're true, they're going to say, I didn't do a thing, he did it all. The Father is taking care of that vine. Jesus is the vine. I want him glorified. I want him to enjoy the fruit. By this the Father is glorified, if you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, he said. I love that. It's interesting that the only place where water naturally flows uphill is a tree or a vine or a plant. It flows uphill. In fact, it goes from the trunk of the tree into a fountain. And the crazy thing is, if you were a giant and you could grab the trunk and pull it out of the ground and then turn it sideways, you'd see the fountain on this side and this side. Because the root system is the water you're drinking. And then it's going up through Jesus into the branch. And you see, it's the foundation that's here, you drinking it in from the roots and then sprouting it out on top, they're together, they're the same. The roots are no less than the branches. If you have small roots or roots that aren't drinking it in, it's going to wither, like Jesus said. So the Lord loves us. He wants us to experience that. I think that's enough. We just need to drink it in. And I guess I will mention that one thing one more time. He has divine appointments every day. I would love to challenge you. I'd love to talk you into it, whatever it is. For you to just mention, can I pray with you? Any person that you've talked to long enough and they've mentioned things, or maybe the person you met the first time and they've been going through things, but then they tell you something, just say, would you mind if I pray for you? That's all. Now, he'll give you further, but that's for me. It's so easy to bring God into the situation. They might think you're a fanatic. Hallelujah! I'm a fanatic coming here about Jesus, you know? Amen. It's so great. And then you will gain a reputation, but it doesn't have to be weird. Unless you're me. The weirder you are, you might get more people listening. I don't know. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much. Thank you for this congregation. It's so exciting and so good to see them alive and loving you, Lord. That means that you've poured that love in, and it is so rich and so sweet. I pray that it would bear more fruit in the days ahead and the years ahead than it's ever borne before. Thank you, God. Thank you for Mike and Nicole. Thank you for the families. Lord, it's just super exciting. And I pray that we could see the joy and experience the amazing love by bringing you into the situation, not only for ourselves, but for others. So please, please, Lord, I pray that you'll do that with these people. Would you mind standing for a moment? And we'll sing this last song. But what about this? Let's pray for each other to be filled with the Spirit of God that is called love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, humility, faithfulness. The Spirit fills us with that kind of fruit. Could you maybe put your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you or on the side of you? Just put your hand there and pray that the Lord will fill you and that person. Just pray for that right now. I'll lead us. Dear God, I ask in your precious name, pour out your Spirit, Lord, on these dear people. God, we need a renewal, an overflow, like you said. You want it to be more and more. And so I pray that it would overflow this group. I believe you are doing that, and I trust you for it, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. And we all said, amen.